like to take your Bibles this morning and prepare to follow me as we move up chapter 5 in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, we want to finish that up this morning as we move into the transition. I'd like to share and quickly consider the rest of the book of the Revelation. You recall that in chapter 1, verse 19, that Jesus said to John, "You want to write the things you have just seen, which is the vision of him. And then he wanted, please then write the things which are," and that was the condition that was going on in the seven churches in Asia Minor. "And then he said, write down the things which shall be." And that gives us the outline of the whole book of Revelation. Chapter 1, the things which you saw, chapter 2 and 3, the things which are, the picture of the curtains. And then chapter 4 and 5, introductory, if you please, the vision that he saw when he was caught in the heaven. And John got carried away in heaven and saw all the things in this book. And then he brought back to earth to write it all down. And you and I, nearly 1900 years later, we get to read the book that he wrote of the things that he saw. The things that he saw, the things that he heard, the things that shall be. And we are ready now to study the things that shall be. Last week I began a study of chapter 5, and I'll finish it very simply this morning. It is this. We saw the book, the scroll. We talked about the scroll. We talked about this rolled up document that was printed on this side, and it has seven seals on it. And if you unfold the greatest seal, you can unfold the golden major running along the seal. If you break that seal, you unfold the Lord. And that's the picture that we have here. And then we saw the Lord Jesus Christ transforming the Lamb. Right there at the throne of the Father, suddenly John saw, instead of Jesus Christ in the beginning, he saw this Lamb wounded. And 4 hours of sacrifice for us. And then we come to the psalm in verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll is put in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lamb of God. Now when he had taken the scroll, four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and golden bowls of incense, which are the herbs and seeds. And they sang a new song." And here are the words, a new song. And we have those words in the chorus that we sang last Sunday. "You are worthy to take the scroll, you are, and to open the seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us from God by your blood out of every tribe and home and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And that's quite a song that they sing. And then you look down in verse 12, and they sing with another song, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then down in verse 13, they say again, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And so there is a song. I want you to notice that in the book of Revelation there are only two instruments that are mentioned. What are they? The trumpet and the harp. The trumpet and the harp. Now I don't understand this. Because on earth, we have all these wonderful instruments. We have orchestras, we have bands, and be surprised if we don't have even more than that in mind. But honestly, the Revelation is the two instruments I mentioned. They are the trumpet, and they are the harp. Now the harp is a stringed instrument, and the trumpet is part of percussion, I believe. And whatever is going on in heaven, I'm looking forward to getting there soon, aren't you? and see how it really cleans out us there. If you notice the song of the redeemed elders, who are picture or representatives of the church, and then it talks about the prayers of the saints. You and I are depending on prayers constantly. But I suspect that these are referring to the saints who are martyrs of the tribulation period, but that may not be true. And then there is the reign of Christ among the saints promised there at the end of that passage. And that also references back to chapter 3, verse 21, when it said, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And then last of all, in verses 11 to 14, we have the worship. We have the worship of the angels in verses 11 to 12. And then in verses 13 to 14, we read this: "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying." I want you to notice what he says. Every living creature in the universe is going to praise God. Now he says under the earth, the world is under the earth. There's an awful lot of critters that live in the earth. And have burrows. Some of them are fuzzy. Some of them are slimy. Some of them are little. Can you imagine the group of saying these words? "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." It says everything in the earth, under the earth. Imagine crickets praising God. And earthworms praising God. And spiders praising God. Amen. And sleep. And all sea creatures, and all the fowls in the air, and all the people, and all the animals. Now, you talk about the creatures of God's world. There are millions of variety. And the kids come up, and all of them are in the It's not just the four different creatures in love. It's not just the four different creatures with the four different faces in love. It's everything in the universe is going to praise God. And then verse 14, "Then the four living creatures said, Amen." You know what amen means? "So be it." Or maybe put another way, "I heartily agree." But when you say amen, something that I may say, or something that is sung, or something that is performed on the platform, you are saying, "I heartily agree." Very strong. Now, with that as an introduction, let us move right into verse 1 and 6. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, Come." Now the words in "see" are not in the original text. Many of the original texts in the Bible not include in "see." Because that word "come" was not directed to John. John was already right there. He's got a ringside seat. He's watching the whole thing. "Come" is in reference to what happens next. But before we talk about that, I want to give some background on this. For this whole book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to put a lot of stuff up there on the screen in this room. And it's going to begin with this statement. It will be statements that I will put up on the screen for you to see. I am going to read them, comment upon them, direct you to some scripture, and be prepared. If you're taking notes, you won't be able to look up this stuff. If you're not taking notes, then please be prepared to put the papers. And we're going to be quickly with the media world in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. The first statement I make is the tribulation period is a 7-year week. You say, wait a minute, I thought a week was 7 days. But it is on your calendar, but it's not on God's calendar. We are dealing with the 70 weeks of prophetic history that God gave to Daniel. So turn with me, if you will, please, to chapter 9 of Daniel. You say, wait a minute, where is Daniel? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you get to Hosea, you just don't want it, okay? It's in the Old Testament. It's between Psalms and Matthew. Now you got the idea. Alright. Near the end of that chapter, we come to verse 24. And it says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. That's the holy city, Jerusalem. To finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Now that's the purpose of the 70 weeks of years of prophetic promise and history of the good. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. And that is when it was given permission to the people of Judah that had been taken captive in the 70 years of the version of Babylon to return back to Israel and back to Jerusalem and begin to rebuild the city in the heaven. From that time until the Messiah comes, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, in total 69 weeks of prophetic history. 69 times 7 repeats. 69 weeks of years, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even the promise of God. And you can go and read the book of Nehemiah and learn about that. Then we come to verse 26. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. The law of God will happen in the Son. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, died on the cross. That was the end of things, right? Not on your life. Because 3 days after he died, he came back to life again.
Amen.
And he lives eternally in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful news? And so we read here, Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. Well, who did Jesus come for? The sins of the whole world. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. It says over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And then it says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now who was it that came in 70 AD and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple? To the point where they literally pried apart every single rock in the temple mount. The Romans did it. The Romans. And the Arch of Triumph in Rome, he picked that hard and slow. And Titus, the Roman general, was the leader of that army that did all that damage to the land of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and in the temple in particular. The end of it shall be with a flood. And I want to go back a minute to a line there in verse 1:6. The people of the prince who is to come. The Romans. The Roman Empire did that. Now, where is Rome? It's in Italy. Where is Italy? It's the boot that hangs off the bottom of Europe, just to the west of the peninsula that we call Greece, and Albania, and a few other little countries. You keep that in mind. What did the Roman Empire cover? He covered all the way from Great Britain, England, France, Spain, Germany, all of those little countries today that I can't remember all the names of, and neither can you. Huge Czechoslovakia and Hungary and all of those countries. All the way down into Turkey. All the way over towards Baghdad, but not that far. He covered Israel. They were all under the control of Rome. Now the Roman Empire was very conquered. I'm going to mention that again because the Roman Empire never got conquered, you know? It just faded away. But it never faded away. The remnants of the Roman Empire are still there up a lot. And today that Roman Empire is rebuilding under the name of the European Union. The European Union. Let me move on here. And then it says, he, who's he? He is a Roman prince. Not Titus. Titus is long dead. But in the future, there's going to be a covenant made with many. Many being Israel. Many being others. In that region. And it's going to be for 1 week. Now, how long is the week of years? 7 years. So the covenant is going to be for 7 years. But in the middle of the week, that would be 3.5 weeks, right? He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, what's that tell you? That tells you that in the end time, the Jews are going to have a temple again. And they're going to have a sacrificial system again. And they are all ready to do that. They have all the utensils. They have all the priesthood trained. They are ready to do it. And all they need now is a temple in Jerusalem. Now, what would it take to put a temple in Jerusalem? It's like when you come to home, okay? You open one place. You can get a temple in Jerusalem. Now we know where it belongs. It belongs right up on the Temple Mount, probably right alongside the Temple Mount. Who runs the Roman law? The Muslims. Who hates the Jews? The Muslims. But imagine somebody coming along and getting the Muslims and the Jews to agree on something, i.e. putting a temple on the top of the Temple Mount. That's where this covenant comes in. That's where the many comes in. It's going to take a lot of different nations in agreement. Are they in agreement today? Not by a long shot. But what if some suave, charismatic, super intelligent guy comes along, empowered with humans, that works. That's the preparation. That's not the thing. The tribulation belongs as the 70th week in the Old Testament dispensation. I'm a reason for seeing remember the dispensation of law only from Moses to the rapture, to the beginning of the church, the dispensation of law. All the other 69 weeks of the Pentecostal that we just read about in Daniel 9, they all belong to law. So in my mind, when we get to Revelation and the tribulation period, it belongs to the dispensation of law. It's the 70th week of Daniel Christ. We have already gone through the 69 weeks of Daniel Christ. They ended with the destruction of the temple. And then there was a parenthesis. Y'all know what parenthesis is. You're going to see parentheses in my writing on it here in a minute. Because I have several parentheses in my notes this morning. Do you see a parenthesis? It's a little added something talking to this that helps you to understand the sentence. The last couple of parentheses again between the 59th week and the 70th week. And it's called the church age. And you and I, today, 2013, we are still in the church age for the dispensation of the church. And we are waiting for it to end. Because we've read how it's going to end, right? It's going to end with what we call the rapture. Now, I know the word rapture is not in the Bible. And you that are with me all the time, you've heard this many times. Among people that are good in the law again. The word rapture comes from a Latin word which means to be caught up, which is the word that is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is talking about being caught up. Caught up. And so we use the word rapture, which is the Englishized word from the Hebrew, in the Latin Vulgate, and the Latin text with us, Rapture. And so we came to us, Rapture, and the Holy Rapture. And we caught up to the Lord in the let me do it now. While it will greatly affect all who live upon the earth, its two main purposes are, one, to serve a righteous, or preserve a righteous remnant of Jews who enjoy all the blessings and promises of the glorious kingdom of Christ on David's throne in Jerusalem. God has always had a remnant. We've always had a group of righteous people somewhere. They may not be together. They may be a sprinkling of all through the earth. But God has a miraculous way of taking all of the little sprinkles of pepper and bring them all together in one place. And the angels are going to do that in the future. And God knows where his people are in all things, all over the earth. And some of them through the sea, and some of them in the earth. Right now, at this very moment, someplace around this earth, there are Christians in millions. Diamond mines, coal mines, silver mines. There are people under the sea working in submarines. God has people everywhere. God has people on mountaintops. God has people up there in airplanes flying over the earth. And God has people under the earth working. And God has people everywhere. Imagine what's going to happen in that place. What is all that can be from God to you? You can all do this. No, you not. The second is to bring the wickedness of the nations of the world to judgment. In the process, millions of people will be saved. And you see that with the chapter 7. The tribulation begins after the removal of the bride of Christ, the church, and the signing of a covenant with Israel and the European dictator, who is also called the beast out of the sea, in Daniel 27 and 9:27 of Revelation 14, verses 4-10. This will usher in the 7-year tribulation period and the 7 seal judgments, which will become 3 such comparable judgments on the earth. Revelation 6 is paralleled by Matthew 24, 4-15. Keep that in mind. I'm not going to be able to look at that right this minute, not to keep that in mind. And also deals with the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, or the beginning of sorrows, also called the birth pains, or the Revelation called the birth. The 7-year tribulation period is in Israel, between the church age, or the age of grace, and the kingdom age, when King Jesus is going to rule and reign over all the earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him. You all understand that? We're a child of God today. We're coming back to this earth. During 1,000 years, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. Yes, we're going to get to enjoy the earth in perfection. Is it in perfection now? No. But God is going to restore it to perfection. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ on the earth during that 1,000 years. Wow, what a deal that's going to be. The church is a parenthesis, as I said a few minutes ago, in God's dealing with the nation of Israel, his chosen people, the wife of Jehovah. And I make that plain to you in this moment. The church is the bride of Christ. Israel is the wife of Jehovah. They are not the same thing. You got, if I put it in human terms, you got 2 different men and 2 different women. God the Father is the husband of Israel. And he divorced her for a little while. And he took her back. And that's all spelled out in Scripture. And then Jesus is the bridegroom, and he's the church. Throughout the ages, throughout the world, from Pentecost Day, Pentecost Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus, all the way through to the rapture, we are the bride of Christ. And we're looking forward to a honeymoon. And we're going to have a honeymoon for those 7 years while God is pouring out judgments on him on this earth to get his wife to return. You see the difference in the picture? We're going to be in heaven with Jesus all the way from him. God the Father is going to be pouring out wrath upon this world for 7 years to get his wife to return him in connection with the with what it means to you. And the Bible says that she's going to be tired from the earth. And she's going to look in the hands of Jesus and see the wounds and recognize that he had been here on earth before. The Messiah had come, and they had crucified him. And now they return to Jesus Christ and to live in the sin. Go along with him. I want to put that little voice up there. When we come to Revelation 6, wow, 7 years have already been. We come to chapter 6, wow, all the Revelation. The man has been found worthy. The man has been found worthy to open the seals and the scrolls and the gate of God the Father, which is the last living testament of God in the people of Israel. and as he opens the seals, an untied woman in heaven, judgments and supernatural activities will be happening during the mission. And that is the preparation we need to look at seal number one next week. Let's bow our hearts and our hearts. Eternal God, great merciful Heavenly Father, we have been enticed today to look at chapter 6 in Revelation. Some of us for the first time, some of us have studied it many times, some of us have read it and wondered what in the world is going on. And God, as we study it, may we be encouraged, may we be instructed, may we be prepared, and may we serve you and seek for you to the glory of God. Help us this week to bring honor and praise to you in all that we do. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.